Hello, brothers and sisters. Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good Wednesday night. I pray that you had a good Bible study and maybe a prayer meeting where you're actually praying for this nation in this time of chaos and turmoil that's all around us. You can really see that in this election. And want to, if you guys follow me on, and I'm not a big ministry, I don't have too many people that follow me, but and I am about numbers. One person that follows me that follows this ministry, and they go out there and they reach 20,000 other people. I don't know how God's hands is moving with this, and it's not my job. My job is to obey and to give the word out through my website. But I've been preaching on spiritual warfare. And to me, spiritual warfare is really close to my heart. And it's sad that the church, especially in America, has neglected spiritual warfare. To preach on it and to teach it straight from the scripture, not making, well, you will see a lot of books out there in America that speaks on spiritual warfare, and they make their own Bible out of it. We should never deviate from scripture when we're looking at spiritual warfare. And our key passage tonight, and what we've been looking at, is Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. I encourage you guys to memorize these passages and just pray over these passages that your armor is on every day. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, and we will read. Verse 10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take up on you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereupon with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. If you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to study your word. Thank you for allowing this website. Thank you for letting it reach whoever it needs to reach through your honor and your glory, nothing that I have done. Lord, I pray whoever's out there hearing this, that they take these messages and they just encourage them to go more into the Word of God, to look at the whole Bible, and to want more of you and less of themselves. Lord, I pray over this nation, the election right now, Lord. We know whatever happens, you are in control. We know if one party gets in, there will be a persecution on Christianity that America has not seen in a long time. Maybe ever. I pray wherever it may be that you give us the strength to stand, and be that light regardless of what it may cost us. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you know the needs, you know the hurting, you know the suffering, you know the pain, Lord. And we lift them all up to you, Lord, in your loving and beautiful embrace. Lord, I pray that you just be with us the rest of this week. You keep us strong. Know that within our weakness, you are strong. Humble our hearts and our minds. Let us seek more of you and less of ourselves. Let our fire burn for your word. Let our fire burn for a passion, but the Holy Spirit will just radiate from us that people around us knows there's something different, and they ask, and we give them the word of God as we're supposed to do as messengers of yours. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Part 6, spiritual warfare. I encourage you guys, if you're just catching this sermon series and you're curious and you want more, I encourage you to, it's on the website, you can find the spiritual warfare first sermon. In this series, I preached two sermon series, so you probably can scroll down quite a while back, but there I have another set of series sermons on this, but this is the second one, or second sermon series I preach on my website that God has inspired me to do, laid on my heart to do. And we're on part 6, and that's the shield of faith. We're looking at the shield of faith in the armor of God. Now, when we look, I want us to look at that first word here, shield. As with the other pieces of armor that we spoke on, Paul was pointing to the armor of a Roman soldier. It's very important to understand contents, the time period. And when we look at the time period and what the Roman soldiers would have access to a shield, we find there are two types of shields. You have one that's probably the most popular one. You see that on television a lot. Is a small round handheld shield. I don't know if you watch the Gladiator documentaries or maybe the movie Gladiator, whether he has that shield, that's an illustration, or you can Google it, internet it, and look at that shield. It's probably one of the most popular shields that you could see in movies. But there was another shield, and see, this shield was about 4 foot high and 2.5 foot wide. Sometimes it was called a door shield. See, it had hooks on its side, and other warriors or soldiers could link shields during that time of war as they progressed to gain ground to conquer the enemy or enemies. It's very important to keep that in mind. And this shield was composed of iron and 2 layers of wood wrapped together in linen. And then it was covered with leather. You can think of that as animal skins. Usually 6 layers of animal skins tightly secure. So of course, during this process in the shield, there was gaps within the shield between the layers. Hopefully this is helping paint a picture of what the shield was or is. You may can find replicates of this, or maybe museums may have this. And these gaps within that shield, the purpose of it was when the flaming arrows were soaring through the air like missiles, and they made impact on that shield, the soldier was able to quickly extinguish those arrows. See, this was the shield. This 4 foot high, 2.5 wide shield is the one Paul is referring to in this passage. I came across an account of one soldier. I love studying the Roman soldiers' armor and in other armors and like swords and, you know, weapons of old back in like the knights. And but I came across this soldier's and it says here that this soldier, he was a good soldier, and he after a day of battle, he came home from the battle lines, and there was 200 once flaming arrows still stuck in his shield. Amazing, 200 on only a given day. We could be hit with so many arrows of the enemy, trying to distract us, trying to keep us busy, keeping us from praying and keeping us from reading our Bibles. And the shield of faith is very critical to distinguishing those arrows that the demonic forces try to hit you with. And we can also say, as with the rest of the other armor, is was very important to a soldier. And we know a good soldier would keep his shield and maintain it daily. And they had an oil that they would use to oil the animal skins and the leather. So their shields were all, the good soldiers would have their shields already ready for battle. They were waiting for it. Oil. I think of oil. I think of the Holy Spirit. That's how we oil our shield, the Holy Spirit. So that's the shield we're looking at. And then Paul adds this other word here, the shield. And then he says, of faith. Faith is very important to a Christian. A Christian walk with God to have their hearts and their minds centered on faith. Because we will be hit throughout our lives. And I know daily I get hit with these arrows of the enemy trying to deflect me, trying to make me move from a different path that the Lord needs me to go. And I keep pushing forward, and I make sure my faith is strong in the Lord. But what is this faith that we're speaking of? Let's go to the scriptures, guys. I love the word of God. The scriptures are so beautiful. We don't have to figure it out. In a sense, it's all in the scripture. It's clearly laid out in Hebrews 11 verse 1. It tells us, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Romans 8, 24 through 25 says this, we are saved by hope, but that hope that is seen is not hope. For what man see, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 tells us the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. You see, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, our faith is in Jesus. He is our faith. He is our shield. See, when we come to Jesus, we lay our hearts and our souls at the foot of Jesus, and we give ourselves to Him every day. We open our heart and we believe and we trust that He has that day. And we know whatever that comes our way, if we're standing in the faith of our God, when we realize what He did for us, sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, to walk among us. He had to die on that old rugged cross. His blood had to be shed for our sins. He had to become sin on that cross. Oh, how that blood was shed. The pain was real. And of course, He was taken down the cross, and He was laid in that tomb for 3 days. On that third day, He rose from the grave. You see, the grave could not hold Him. He overcome the death. He overcome the world. The world did not rub off on Him. He rubbed off on the world. And He's coming back soon, brothers and sisters. Are you ready? Time is drawing near. Today is your salvation, right? Faith in Jesus. We have that. As a child of God, we have that faith. Are we walking in that faith every day? Is our shield firmly raised when we walk out those doors? You see, this faith is a saving faith. And when we get that saving faith, It becomes a defensive faith. It is an active faith. You see, there was a shepherd. He was awesome at his job. And if a wolf or a bear would come in his flock, he would go after that raving animal that wants to devour that sheep. He didn't worry about what it may cost him. He didn't worry about the consequences. He just knew he had to rescue that sheep. He was a shepherd, a good shepherd. You see, the shepherd boy would come against a giant called Goliath. You may know who I'm talking about now. And he would stand. He would not back down from this enemy. He stood firm on the foundation for Israel. The God of Israel, which is our God. And he said, no, you can't mock my God. This, of course, was David. And he tells David, I will cut your head off with your own sword. Because my God is more powerful than anything you guys can hit me with. A active faith, a defensive faith. He stood on the faith of Jesus Christ. He didn't doubt that God wasn't coming through. See, this faith is a faith that we need to have. This is a faith that we need to have in our hearts. We want to have this defensive faith against the flaming arrows coming our way. And you can even say the Goliaths in our lives. Could be something at work. Could be something at home. God knows what's going on in your life. He knows the battles that you're facing. Never doubt the faith that God has it. These are the flaming arrows, right? And we see Paul speaks of the fiery darts of the wicked. I've been referring them to arrows. And he tells us that Satan and his demonic host will have schemes, and they will try to tempt you. They will try everything they can. They will lie to you. We know our scripture tells us that Satan is a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And the scripture also tells us that he's a thief. He wants to come, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal everything that's good. He wants to destroy your life wherever he can. And don't allow him. Stand on the word of God. Stand that in the faith that God has everything. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. The enemy, his demonic forces, their objective has not changed since the Garden of Eden. They will try to paint pictures that are not realistic. They will try to make you think this is okay when the Bible tells you it clearly isn't. And see, that's what I fear. I guess not really a bad fear. My heart hurts for America that we're on the verge of a far more deep hole away from God. My heart hurts how abortion is normalized. And of course, in Louisiana, we had the Amendment 1 pass, Love Amendment, telling us it's a move toward making abortion illegal in Louisiana. And a lot of people are going to say, oh, you don't care about the woman. Oh, you don't care. Yes, we care. All life matters. They will try to paint a picture like we're evil. Because we're standing on the principles that God has. Where sexual immorality runs rampant. I'm not for sex without marriage. You should be married. And see, in our culture today, and it started back in the 60s and 70s with free love, where you could just have sex with anybody and you get pregnant, that's fine. Just take a pill, kill the baby. Take precautions if you're going to have sex. We live in a health advanced society. There is no excuse for you getting pregnant if you don't want it. And I understand you could say, well, incest, and I won't tell you that's a very small percentage, but you see the left will take that and make it look like 100%. It's evil. It's evil. See, the enemy's objective has not changed. He will paint that and make it look pretty. He will make that fruit as he did in the Garden of Eden. Make it look tasty. But I'll tell you, we are supposed to resist the devil. We're supposed to submit to God. When we submit to God, we give him everything. We just don't give him partial. We give him everything we got. Every day we submit to God. And when we submit to God through the Holy Spirit, we can resist the devil. It's only till that submission, till that humbling, till that I'm on my knees praying, Lord, give me the strength to get through the day. I lay my heart at your feet. I humble my soul at your feet, Lord. Give me strength to make it through the day. Lord, I know my flesh is weak, but you are powerful. You are the God you that lives inside of me. Anything that I'm going through, you know about. You will give me the strength through the Holy Spirit. I pour my heart out to you, Lord. Do we pray like that? Do we petition God for strength to endure the day and strength to be that light in this darkness that's engulfing us, especially in America and at this election and where everything is falling apart? God, help America. Oh, how we have turned our backs on you. How we are busy. How we are too busy to go to church on Sunday. Even to go through the disciple training on Sunday morning. And then, oh, don't let the preacher get over an hour. Where's our hearts at? Where's our yearning at? To preach. Preach for him. Preach 2 hours. I don't care. Let's hit the altar. Let's pray. Let's rent the heavens. No, are we too busy looking at our watches? He better not go over his hour of 30 minutes or whatever. Heaven forbid I'm gonna miss a show on television. Why do you think America's in the shape it is? It's because the church is lukewarm. It's because the church has lost its faith in Jesus and standing on the word of God. We're too busy. Maybe it's not going on Wednesday nights. Not doing our studying our Bible, our yearning for Jesus. Our praying while ceasing. Throughout this whole pandemic, we have the spirit of fear. When this whole pandemic hit, I got criticized. You're just being heartless. No, my heart hurts more than most. My heart is grieved. You let the spirit of fear run rampant in your churches. And you're wondering why the power of the Holy Spirit is dampened. You grieve the Spirit. We reap what we sow, America. Some of us don't even have faith enough to tie our shoes. But we're supposed to have faith that God will heal our nation. We don't have faith in our workplace to preach the gospel. If we need to mention the name of Jesus. Heaven forbid on Christmas is happy holidays. Oh, don't talk about Jesus. Leave him out of the workplace. There's a point in time where God will get tired And that could be now during this election. See, we have let the spirit of fear, that's a good flaming arrow of Satan, is that spirit of fear. Then with another flaming arrow could be despair and hopelessness and temptation. Lies, flaming arrows of lies, the arrows of deception leads you in the corner feeling defenseless. As a Christian, we're not supposed to feel defenseless. He who's living in us is supposed to be greater than he that's in the world. Our God is greater and powerful than anything the devil can hit us with. But are we walking in that faith today? I want to tell you, have somebody. And if you guys hear this message, invite me to your church. I will preach. I don't care what will happen to me. Some people would claim, oh, you have a suicide. No, I like my freedom. I love my freedom. I love my God more. And I will proclaim the gospel until there's no more breath in my body. Where's our preachers today? Where were they in the past? My heart hurts. So how do we live in this defensive faith? First, you got to have trust, guys. That's the key. Psalms 84:11 says this, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from them that walk upright. To walk upright is to walk holy. Romans 8:32 says this, he that spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all. Us all of humanity. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Is that grace, right? Ephesians 2:8-10 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not even yourself, is a gift of God. Not works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. And people want to skip that verse 10 because we have a listening, not doing mentality in America. We want to listen and have that, and we don't want nothing to do with reaching others with the gospel. But he said, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus until good works. See, works don't save us, but when we get saved through faith. A saving faith leads to a defensive faith, to an active faith, and we are given good works that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Are we walking in them? Trust in God's character. See, God, regardless what you may be going through, you may be hit hard, brought to your knees. You may say, why God? Why God? What have I done? You know, Satan's right there feeding those lies. Yeah, God don't love you. They say God is good, but why are you going through this? You see, God don't care about you. Why would you suffer if God loved you? I know I've heard those sayings, those voices in my head. And you may hear that question as, why does good things happen to bad people? And why does bad things happen to good people? Or let me see if I said, why does good things happen to bad people? And why does bad things happen to good people? I'll just make sure I've said that right. It all depends on how you define good, right? Luke 18:19 says this, and Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Romans 3:10 says, as written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You see, God is good regardless of what we're going through. That is a truth that we need to stand on. His character, he is good. And everything that we're going through right now, the pain, the suffering, it all has a purpose. You see, this life don't tarry forever. One day, we will see Jesus one way or the other. Maybe us passing away tonight, or it could be the rapture. We will see Jesus. This life in perspective of eternity is short. The pain and the suffering is only short. I think of the story of, well, not really story, of Paul. I guess you say historical event. And he was beaten. He was thrown in a prison. He was stripped down. He was beaten with many stripes. He was almost thrown into the deepest and darkest parts of the prison. Was fested with, you could know it, it was nasty. The prisons were nasty. Nothing. Don't even think about our prisons today that are nice and sanitary and it's clean. It was nasty. He was thrown in there. But that midnight hour, he started singing praises to Jesus. Oh, how we could get in touch with that. Oh, how when we're going through things in life that rattle us, to still say, you are good, and you got this, and sing praises to him. See, trust is important. Trusting God's character. Second is trusting in God's promises. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man, that he should repent. Have he said, and shall it not do it? Have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 through 4 says, grace and peace be multitude on you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have he given unto us all that pertains unto life, godliness to the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are ye given to see great and precious promises by those that these ye may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the crushing that is in the world through lust. It's Philippians chapter 4:19, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Trusting in his promises. And that's just only a few promises, guys. I encourage you guys, just do a Bible study on all the promises. Memorize the promises. And when you're going through things in life, you're like, I know it hurts, but my God tells me that he will supply all my needs according to his riches and his glory by the glory by Jesus Christ. Maybe not in this lifetime, but in the next, I will not feel no more pain. I will feel no more sorrow and give it to God. You see, God is not an Indian giver, and that may not be a politically correct term, but I'm not politically correct. He don't tell you one thing and take it back. He doesn't tell you that, for instance, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. He does not lie to you. When he tells you a promise, he will keep that promise. Don't let the enemy hit you with lies trying to deceive you. Strengthen your shield. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. That oil. You can every day oil your shield through the Holy Spirit. You do that through prayer. You do that through fasting. You do that with fellowship with your brothers and sisters. You do that with daily Bible reading. One of my favorite promises is that he will never leave us. And he will never forsake us. Oh, that's so beautiful. It can be misunderstood, but that's such a beautiful promise there. That doesn't neglect us walking more in the spirit and less in the flesh. Some will take that and give it a license of sin, and you look at my salvation messages. I don't preach a license of sin. I don't preach dirty grace. Third, you got to trust in God's program. You got to trust the program and timing. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this, "For my thoughts I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What is that expected end? Right? Because this world will end. And when this world ends, what only thing that will truly matter is, were you a child of God? Because if you're a child of God, you are His, and He has a place for you in His kingdom. And if you're not His, there's a place in hell, in Satan's kingdom for you. And I pray that everybody that hears this message will be a child of God and will seek His face and will get up every morning with prayer on their lips and praise in their heart, to get out there and to put the whole armor of God daily, and to be that light when the world says that is wrong. The word of God is not, it's old, it doesn't apply to our lives. We stand and say no. The word of God applies to everybody's life. And I will stand on the word of God and the faith in my Jesus. See, the American way is, I want it now. I want it now. Give it to me. And I want all of it without a cost. Don't let it cost me anything. You see, following Jesus, there is a cost. See, His timing is perfect too. His timing is holy and righteous. It's right on the mark. A lot of times we want to think we got it, that He's taken way too long, and we want to step out of His will and start doing it on our own. And I can tell you from personal experience, it never plays out good for me. Trust His program. There's a reason for everything. Trust His timing. He's got it. Give Him all. Relinquish the control of your life and let Him control your days. Understand, brothers and sisters, in the days of ahead of us in America, we need to start understanding the importance of spiritual armor, so we can wage a good warfare. And faith is just one of those pieces that we need to have. That shield of faith, as the Roman soldiers knew how important that shield was, and to maintain it through the oiling their shield, not just one day, but every day. Because the enemy is coming for you every day. And as we progress in our life, as we grow to be the children that He needs us to be true disciples for Jesus, the enemy, we paint a target on us, and those arrows will come. But there's nothing if we're standing in the faith. There's nothing that should rattle us. You see, when we keep our hearts on Jesus, when that temptation comes, when those lies come, when that deception comes, when life is unbearable, we stand and trust in His character. We trust We trust in his character, guys. We trust in his promises. We trust in his program and timing, not ours, his. He's coming back soon. When something starts to distract us from realizing these things and to doubt those things and to lose our faith in those things, we need to get back on our knees. And we should already been on our knees praying, because that's critical to the armor, is prayer. Laying our hearts out for God. Knowing that faith is only in Jesus Christ. That is a saving faith. Equals a defensive faith, which is a active faith. When we stand in faith with Jesus, we are better equipped, along with the rest of the armor that we have talked about and I preached on. When something comes on television that draws you, your thought pattern that's not healthy, that lust, that anger, that envy, that pride, the list goes on and on, right? You're sitting there watching, you're giving into that temptation. Get up. Turn it off. Those thoughts are not normal. But do you compromise that? Do you just keep watching and letting that filth go into your mind? Your shield's not being oiled. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. And when you're hit with something alive, you come screaming to God and say, why? You got the why in the Bible. Are you studying it? You're giving yourself to the lust of the flesh. And when you do that, you weaken your fellowship with God. Your shield's not oiled by the Holy Spirit, because you grieve the Holy Spirit. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, it will grieve you to a point where you'll be in tears. So you have to turn it off. If the lack of grief from a Holy Spirit watching some filth on TV, you keep watching it, there's something wrong with you. You may not even be a child of God, because he convicts us. He chastens those that he loves. And there's that conviction leads to repentance of your sin and asking for forgiveness, and that is true repentance. And I know I can't see your heart. Jesus sees your heart. He knows all. He knows all that's going on in your life. See, Jesus is not a genie in the bottle. You can't just rub him and get a wish. That's not how faith works. Faith involves repentance. Getting our hearts right. Trusting in God with everything we got. You see, when our shields are firmly raised in faith, and we lock them in place, God will come through every time. May not be the way we want him to, because all the pain in this life is only temporary compared to the next life. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to preach a sermon tonight. Pray, Lord, that it just reaches whoever it needs to reach out there. Let it stir the heart to seek the scriptures more, to learn more of you and less of ourselves. To encourage us to stand on the word of God and not doubt you, but have faith that's unwavering. A faith that is active and live as David stood. Let us stand as David did with Goliath. With all boldness because of the Holy Spirit. If we have sin in our life, I pray, Lord, we remove it. We pray that you create a clean heart in us. That we will stand regardless how the darkness will engulf us next year. That we will stand on the word of God regardless what it may cost us next year. We love you and we thank you. With all this, we pray in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Hope y'all have a good rest of the week. Also, I post several spiritual warfare Bible studies on my website. I encourage you guys to check those out. I posted 2 for November, but I probably got about 8 on there. And that just goes deeper into studying about spiritual warfare. Pray y'all use those, utilize those. If y'all have any questions, you know, can call me or text me. You can easily, you can message me through my website. You can get in touch with me through an email. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.